Welcome to episode number 22 of the Insider Running Podcast. Thanks for joining us again. Thanks for downloading the show. This show is brought to you this week by the O'Keefe Rail Trail Marathon. Thanks to the team down there at the O'Keefe Rail Trail Marathon for sponsoring this show. We've got a bit of a competition coming up later on in the show, and we really appreciate their support. We do have the reigning O'Keefe Rail Trail Marathon winner. So I don't know if I worded that right, but Julian the Moose Spence, how are you going?
Fine, thanks.
Fine, thanks, yep. And Bradley Croker, thanks for joining me for another week.
No worries, Brady. How was your long weekend?
Yeah, mine's good. I told you last week, I'm rolling straight into school holidays, though. So I'm, 4-day weekend going into 2 weeks off is quite a nice feeling.
Yeah, I've got another 2 weeks of work. I don't know how that worked out, but anyway.
Yeah, so you had an 11-week term. It's a big one to start off with.
Yeah, I think it's only 10. We started a bit later than you guys.
Okay, that might be it. Yeah. Easter Bunny come, Julian?
Yeah. Stayed in an Airbnb, woke up. The host somehow found his way in and left us an Easter Bunny.
Oh, that's a bit creepy, isn't it?
I think he might have left it there. We just found it on the morning. I'm hoping that was the case.
I'm also hoping that's the case. What about you, Brad?
Yeah, I got a chocolate bunny, and we had lunch out at Viv's parents' place on Sunday. So she packed us up with a heap of biscuits and pies and crumbles, and yeah, so all sorted.
Yeah, right. And daylight savings has ended, Julian. A bit darker down your way tonight.
Yeah. So, pardon me. Yep, I was out in the. Oh no, I knocked off work public holiday hours today, so I still got to run in the. In the light, but yeah, I mean, normally it'll be dark from now on, so headlamps are all charged, ready to brighten the night.
I did read an article on a website, Run Culture, this week, actually, that you are recommending those headlamps.
Yeah, well, Run Culture is a cool little spot to hang out if you're a runner. Read some blogs. There's a blog up at the moment, just a new one about, I think, who was it?
Josh
Harris, that's right. Yeah, that's the latest interview up there, so I can't wait to get into that. So that's run by Dane Verway, who's been a guest on the podcast, and he's really putting out some good content. And I just have like a fortnightly segment where I review a bit of gear, whether it's shoes, nutrition, whatever. I just write a little bit of spiel, I guess. This week was headlamps, so talk about what you want to look for when you're buying a headlamp. Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
You got a headlamp, Brad?
No, but I think I'll have to invest in one.
Really?
Yeah. Just, well, unless I can, I'm thinking of going back to part-time work, so if I can get Wednesdays off again, I reckon I'll be okay, because that's probably the only morning where, you know, trying to get close to 2 hours in before work is impossible. Or after work in the light, so.
Yeah, Wednesday, that midweek long run kills you in the middle of winter.
Yeah. So we'll see. But, yeah, I think I'll have to get a head torch. I've never run with one before.
Mm. We'll talk later.
All right.
Yeah, Julian probably try to sell you one off air.
I got one for you.
Take us for your weekly recap, Julian. Spent a bit of time in Sydney. Have some listeners help you out up there. What happened? Go from Monday to Sunday.
Day to Sunday, yep. So let me just pull it up. Apologies. Maybe Brad can go first.
Brad, kick it over to you.
All right. So had an interesting week. Like it's, yeah, I said on the Sunday that I only ran like 138K, but from about Wednesday onwards, I was just cooked. And I've finished off 190K weeks feeling better than I did at the end of this week just gone. So I headed off to school camp or outdoor ed camp on the Monday morning. So I managed to get a run in that afternoon, found a nice trail from the caravan. We're in Browlea down the south coast. So found a nice trail from the caravan park down to Maruya Airport and back, and had a new pair of the Zoom Elites on. And like I just love those shoes. I always feel so fast in them. I find they're just a really good like hybrid shoe that I can almost do sessions in as well as just long runs. So anyway, I did 45 minutes and I end up averaging 3:59s, which is probably a little bit quick for just an easy run. So that's all I got done on Monday. Tuesday was a full-on day. Just we had 2 hours of stand-up paddleboarding, 2 hours of kayaking, probably about a 5K hike. And then so I went out for my run sort of at 5:30. And, like, in hindsight, I probably should have just jogged most of this week rather than trying to actually fit in sessions. But went down to the airport again, and there's a trail that runs pretty much parallel to the runway. And the session was 8 times 2 minutes off a minute jog slash float. And it ended up being a pretty good session. One rep was into a headwind, one rep was with a tailwind, and the times ranged between sort of, or the pace between 3:05s and 2:55, and sort of jogging a minute at about 4 minute K pace. And they were just in those Zoom elites. So I was pretty happy with how the session went, but probably dug a bit too deep and probably cooked myself a little bit. Had another morning of camp on the Wednesday, got back that afternoon and went out to Mulligan's and did an hour. And I was, ran 4:20s, but I was pretty tired after just camp. You know what it's like, Brady, school camp, just you come back pretty stuffed.
Yeah, it's and for people not in that industry, like, you're pretty much on work for, I don't know how, like, I can't get out for a run when I'm in school camp because I work at a small school, I'm in charge, so, like, you can't leave the kids because if something goes wrong and it's like, where's the teacher? Oh, he's out doing 8 by 2 minutes with one jog recovery. So I just ride the whole time. If it's 2 or 3 days, I just don't run because it's not doable. And it's a job where even when you're sleeping, you're kind of half thinking, if is a kid going to have an asthma attack or what happens if this happens? And, it's very hard to switch off. And I'm not sure. I was just talking to my boss, my principal, a couple of days ago about how much longer school camps are going to be happening, because it's a pretty big drain on the teachers and this world of OH&S and being accountable and risk assessments and all those kind of things. It's a pretty dangerous environment.
Yeah, and just all the stuff we're doing throughout the camp, you know, like all up, I would have done a good 8 to 10 hours of, you know, surfing, kayaking, stand-up paddle boarding. So that sort of takes a toll as well. So anyway, did an hour on the Wednesday, and it's been quite hot. Like I've been expecting the weather to cool down a bit, but getting out at 4:30 in the afternoon, it's been still close to 30 degrees here, which doesn't help. So then Thursday morning, the plan was to get up and do my session, but I was just so tired. I went, I'll do it in the afternoon. And the session Thursday was 3x3K with a 2 minute float. And I cooked myself again here because I went out and it was 30 degrees. And so the session was, I was pretty much running, let me just bring it up. So I ran 9:44 for the first 3K, floated 2 minutes at 3:40 pace, 9:41 for the second 3K, floated 2 minutes at 3:40s, and then 9:34 for the third 3K. So I think I went through 10K in like 32:40 odd, and it was 30 degrees. So the last rep I was like hanging on, which in hindsight was pretty stupid. I should just be cruising, I guess, 4 weeks after the marathon. Then Friday, I guess it was Good Friday, so got out in the morning for just an hour at 4:18s, and then did my first double run, Friday Arvo, 4:10s for 35 minutes. Then Saturday, and I don't know if you guys noticed, but during, I guess for the last year, I've only really been doing 2 sessions a week, but for this week I had 3 down. So the session was 5x K on Saturday, and I'd organised to train with a good mate of mine, Jimmy Barker. So he's recently run 8:39 for 3K as a 41-year-old off like 4 runs a week. So it's pretty impressive. So we went out to Stromlo and did 5x K off a minute and probably averaged about 3 minute Ks for those. Which I was pretty stuffed just from the start. And then 35 minutes Saturday afternoon. And then yesterday was an hour 50. So I got through 26.5K at 4:09s. So 138K. But, I was just tired most of the week. And my Achilles have just been – they've been fine once they warm up. But both Sunday and Sunday and today, for the first, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes of my run in the morning, it's been pretty uncomfortable. And then after that, they're fine. So I just need to be a little bit careful, I think. So that was my week. Like all my sessions were good, but probably a little bit too hard. And then factoring in camp and things like that should have taken it a bit easier.
Yeah, it's kind of riding on the wall a bit, isn't it? Like first week back, added double runs, doing an extra session and school camp. And yeah, there's a bit going on, a bit changing all in that 1 week.
Yeah, I think though, like in a way I'm glad I did it because I've sort of realised that like I'm not, you know, I'm closer to 40 than I am 30. And like I don't think I need to do three sessions a week anymore. I think I showed in the lead up to my marathon that doing two sessions with maybe a third one as part of a long run, so like doing a tempo at the end of the long run as a third session, is enough for me. And also I think just introducing this speed work, I have to just be a little bit careful with it as well, because if you look at all, like two of those three sessions, there's a fair bit of like speed there, I guess, compared to what I had been doing. So I guess I'll just have to slowly phase that in, as opposed to, yeah, going really hard with the speed stuff.
Yeah. Is Ben back right in the program or you're still winging it?
No. So he's he wrote that week and then he's, yeah, basically got this week sorted for me. So I've only got my program up until the end of this coming week.
Does he give you splits before, like, does he write a workout with splits or do you just go?
Oh, rough splits. So he always...
Say the 1K reps, right?
Yeah.
What's his three... Like you did what, 6 by K?
I did 5 by K.
5 by K, and he doesn't give you an idea?
Yeah. Like, so he would have been comfortable with me running around, like, around 3-minute Ks. That was the plan. But I guess I spoke to him on Thursday and after I did that 3 by 3K and I told him, you know, I probably went a bit too hard there. He goes, well, at this point... there's no point pushing it. You may as well just, you know, train at sort of 80 to 90% as opposed to 100%. So he would have been happy for me to run for those K reps, probably like 305s to 310s, just cruise through them based on how I was feeling. But I guess because I'd organized to meet my mate who I haven't trained with for ages, and he was wanting to run 3-minute Ks, I sort of just went along with it. So, yeah. But, yeah. Anyway, all good. Still in one piece.
Yeah, just a bit cautious around that Achilles. I always know. Yeah, they're always dodgy, those Achilles, aren't they, when they flare up a bit?
Yeah. But I've had a history of really, really stiff Achilles in the morning. But then once they warm up, they're fine. Like I used to hobble out of bed for 3 years straight, and I was still able to train. So, when I get concerned is when they don't warm up. So. But I'll definitely keep an eye on them.
Rightio, Julian, over to you. About 175K for the week, big boy week.
Not as much as I wanted again due to wedding duties and, yeah, pretty much. But I just cruised on Monday in the afternoon. I've been putting my heart rate on, running a bit to heart rate for one of the runs a day. So my longer run. I run more to heart rate, and then the second run I just run easy at the moment, so just cruising. First run ran to Radford, Chris Rad, like the strength session, so I went and did that in the morning, and then in the afternoon ran down along a trail. What was I trying out? I had something new. Oh, can't remember. I had something new. Oh no, Bree just got her new pedals for her bike. So she like has been using just like BMX pedals, and she went and bought new pedals and shoes so she clips in there. So we went and tested those out. She rode along next to me. That was Monday. Tuesday, just in the morning again, just went out for 70 minutes. That's on my nice, on the loop that I like to do. It's called Moose Loop. It's what I've called it. It goes up some hills. You do basically, I think it's about all up, nearly 300 meters of climbing, but it's a pretty nice run. You get in the bush a little bit, but you run from home, so you don't need to travel. In the Arvo, just cruised again. Wednesday morning, I went and did a fartlek. Now, I bloody slept through my alarm. And so I had to kind of link up my warm-up work out and cool down altogether because I couldn't waste any time. So I ran in the same shoes, didn't have time to get changed in the other shoes, and I did the workout on this little sort of square in Ballarat. It's like called Russell Square. It goes around a bunch of ovals. It's on a hill, so half the loop is uphill, half's downhill, and it was pretty windy, so I wasn't too concerned about pace, so I turned the pace off my watch, and I just ran to time. So the fartlek was designed to sort of spend 3 minutes at around threshold pace, then I jog for a minute, and then I run a minute hard, which is probably around 5K pace, and then I jog for another minute, and I did five sets of that, so 30-minute workout. Felt pretty good. Like, I didn't know what my paces were, so I just used the heart rate and effort level as a guide, and I was pretty happy to see what they were at the end. The paces, I think I ran about 3:10 to 3:15s for my 3-minute efforts and all under 3 minutes for my 1-minute ons. So that was Wednesday morning. Then Wednesday arvo, went out for run club, did it on the trails, got 8K again. Thursday morning, went and ran 10 miles in the bush again. And in the afternoon, finally got around to doing some strides afterwards, which I was happy with. Friday morning, I had a flight to Sydney pretty early, so I had to get out. Oh, this was the earliest wake-up I've done in a long time for running. So 6:16, I left the house, wore a headlamp. Bree was on the bike. She had to put her bike light on, light the way. I did Moose Loop. And I normally do it a couple of times in a marathon build-up steady. So it's pretty hilly out there. I work up the hills. And then when I do it steady, I kind of work down the hills as well. Just don't push too hard because it ends up being a 10-mile tempo, really. So I did that in 1 hour, 1 minute. And the first sort of 3K is like a warm-up. And then you build into it. So that includes that. The best I've ever done it is 3:30s per K, but that was when the first 3K were pretty hard. I basically left from the gun. So I reckon I ran about a similar time over the actual workout. Then got up into Sydney, went out for a pre-wedding meet and greet type setup, had a couple of beers, big pasta, and then before like almost like the Bucks evening, kind of more drinking, I got out for another run. So I got in 8.4K in Cronulla. It's pretty fun. Good little spot to run. Woke up early on Saturday morning because I knew I wasn't going to get a second run in. So did a bit of a loop around Cronulla again, picked up the groom pistol. We rolled, picked up a couple of the other groomsmen along the way. And then went out for brekkie, went to the wedding, had a good one, looked a treat. The whole wedding party was fantastic. Went and had a lot of beers later. Did the running man on the dance floor, which went down well. Not sure whether you've seen that Instagram classic, but if you haven't, hashtag running man. Got to 12:30 and I was drinking straight scotch thinking, shit, I'm going to struggle on the long run tomorrow. I probably won't even wake up. But turned around the leaving the wedding to the sleeping very quickly. So I reckon I hit bed probably around 1:15, 1:30. Got up at 6:30, out the door 7:12, and I felt great actually. I ran about 38K. My watch battery, I didn't bring a charger with me, so I died near the end. But I ran like north. I was going to jump in with a couple of listeners suggested some runs I could have done like in Royal National Park, but I couldn't commit to that just like being at a wedding the night before. Well, I don't want to sort of bail on anyone or let anyone down. So I decided not to jump in and just ran myself on this. It's like a long concrete path. Snaked its way north, a few suburbs, a lot of runners out, a lot of walkers. Bloody Sydney can really turn it on with the weather. It's like epic conditions, sunny, no wind. It's everyone out. Like at 7:15, the bloody path was packed. Like the surfers finishing their surf. All the runners were finished. Like the fitness stations were full. It was just a really cool atmosphere, like a really motivated, kind of inspired fitness place, which is good to see. And they look after you too, the council up there. Like there's public toilets everywhere. There's drink stops all over. The running tracks are well looked after. It's just, it's an easy place to run, really. So I just ticked along as you do by yourself. I think when you don't know where to go, you always run a bit faster. Average about 4:02s for the time, which felt good. Definitely feeling better late in my long runs lately. I felt really good in that one, considering I should have been hungover as hell and only had about 6 hours sleep, 5 hours sleep. So yeah, pretty happy with that. That was my week.
First things first, naming the loops after yourself. How's that come about?
It's a loop I made. Needs a name. Yeah. No problem with that, dude.
No, I just thought, because what's this, the lap's named after Steve Montaghetti, the old troop loop down at Geelong. It's, just name one after yourself. That's all good.
And I heard him refer to himself today as the Big Moose, so maybe it should be the Big Moose Loop.
I said it last week, Brad. Things are starting to go to his head, I reckon. Like,
fitness building.
It's building. Second thing, that 4:02, I don't think you'd usually do a long run at that kind of pace. It's rather marathon pace for you, or kind of 4:25, 4:30s.
Yeah, not necessarily.
Maybe like, that's over hills though, and you're on the flats.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Same effort. If you put a heart rate, I reckon around 4 to 4:05 on flat is where I'm probably at for about 135, which is where I sort of aim for. So I think that's probably not far off.
Very good. Pretty solid week.
I think that also shows the benefit of doing hills on your long run is you come out and you're just cruising at like 4 minute Ks and it doesn't actually feel, well, probably feels easier than your normal long runs because the hills, the hills take a hell of a lot out of you. You just never get into a rhythm. Whereas when it's flat, you just got the momentum. You just keep cruising.
Just even doing all my runs over hills at the moment, when I do whack a heart rate, it's really like, it just gives you confidence to see how low your heart rate is when you go and run sort of flat or even slightly downhill. And you're going along at like 3:45, so the same heart rate as what you run your normal runs at. It does give you confidence for sure.
Yep.
Hills, good week. It's pretty solid stuff. How many weeks you got now? 8?
7.
Seven. Business end of the marathon block, getting into the deep stuff.
Getting into some big ones now. I don't want to like, obviously, I've got another wedding this week up in Yarrawonga, actually. Yarrawonga? No, Corowa. Corowa. It's near Echuca, right?
Corowa. I don't know, is it? Let me look it up. Really? While you're talking.
Well, where's Heathcote? No, what's that place, Brent? Yarra Glen. You don't know that? It's like, it's on the river.
Yeah, the river goes from bloody the mountains to Adelaide.
You should know Yarra Glen.
Christmas Hills. It's showing me a map here.
How far to Echuca? Maybe I can come and school you on a long run.
Dixon's Creek. It's nowhere near Echuca.
What do you mean?
It's like near Melbourne.
That's not the same place. Yarra Glen. It's not Yarra Glen.
You mean Yarrawonga.
Rutherglen. Rutherglen.
I'm glad the Moose knows where this wedding is this weekend.
It's near Yarrawonga.
It is near Corowa. Yeah, you're right. Still a long way from Echuca. Yeah, you're right.
Where's Echuca then?
We're over to the... Yeah, you're kind of near Albury. Near Albury, Wangaratta. Yeah, still 2 hours away from Echuca.
Mm. All right.
You can come over if you want, though. Keep me company.
No, you can come over.
No, I'm not driving her. Nah. Probably going to Bendigo if I'm going anywhere. Yeah. Yeah, good luck. Whose wedding's that one?
That one is Bottles and Tegan. A couple of listeners too, I believe. Nice. Bottles loves it. Always gets up and about with the podcast.
Yeah, weddings are no good for your training, are they? Like, I'm surprised you pulled up so well.
Killing my training. Might have been the scotch. I'll have to try that again this week.
Finish off with a nightcap of scotch and you pull up all right, you reckon?
Yeah. Well, it worked last time. I'm not sure how, but it did.
Yeah, very good. My week, I'm back. I think that's the best week I've had in a while. Three okay sessions, which I like having okay sessions rather than trying to have standout ones and then maybe popping for the next session of the week. But had Monday completely off, just had a massive week at work, a massive day at work, sorry. Had a dinner meeting and a before school meeting, and one of those days where I just thought, I was planning to do my run at like 8:30 at night, just have like a salad for dinner. And then I got to this dinner meeting and thought, nah, I'm going to have a decent feed here because I was pretty hungry. And then just wrote the day off, didn't train at all. But off the back of two 190K plus weeks, I thought that wasn't a bad move anyway. So Tuesday did a session, 8x1K, averaged 301, which was good with the minute recovery. Compared to doing that session a couple of weeks ago when I averaged maybe 308 for six of them. So yeah, really happy with the progression there. Afternoon run after the gym for 9K, so that was a pretty heavy day, a few hours exercising there. 90 minutes on the Wednesday with a PM run as well. That Wednesday run, I just totally go on heart rate and just try to keep it pretty low, and averaged 4:36. It's beautiful weather. Like, I think we had 32 degrees. So by the time I got out at about 6:30, it was just sun setting, and yeah, probably the last opportunity to do that midweek long run in the daylight after work for a few months. Thursday, I caught up with my mate Archie Reed, who I spoke about last week, to do a bit of speed work. We did 6x300 meters off 50 seconds recovery. And yeah, this guy is pretty zippy. He was telling me in the warm-up area he's been running 26 second 200s in training, and that made me pretty scared. And yeah, his coach wanted him to run 50 seconds, and we got him to lead the first one just to get, he's turned 17 soon, so 16-year-old kid. And you know when you're a bit younger, and I think we're the same, and you can't really judge the pace too well. We got him to lead the first rep and just to try to judge the pace and get to 50, as close to 50 seconds as he can. I think he ran 46 and I knew it was a 46. I was absolutely blowing, and yeah, he really put me to the sword in the first one. But yeah, we led every second one, and I think we hit 47 average, which was nice on the grass track, just zipping around there. Friday, I'm up to, did 16K. It was good Friday in the morning, ran this nice trail at 4:33s, then 9K in the afternoon. And then Saturday, I attempted to do the session that I bombed out on the Saturday before. So I did 8K and did it much better this week. So I did 8K at 3:28 pace and then into the 4K kickdown. And yeah, surprised myself a bit in the kickdown. I think I ran 308, 306, 304, 257 for the last 4K, whereas last week I couldn't run 2K at 312 at the end of it. So shows that I've adapted well to the mileage, and yeah, feeling a bit fresher. And then went to Bendigo, got out. Actually, did the old water boying job at the footy on the Saturday afternoon. Had a good win over the local town, Tatura. Three goals down, three-quarter time, and got up for the win. It was pretty good, boys. You would have really enjoyed it, running water on that kind of game. And, yeah, got out for a run after that for 6K. So that was a massive. I think I had, like, 43K up on my watch. And there's no way I can do that stuff during marathon build-up because you're just on your feet for too long. And I think you'd probably just use your afternoon run as the water boying job or just not go to the footy. And then 32K with Jamie Cook on Sunday in Bendigo over the hills again, which was nice. 4:14 average, heart rate was a bit lower than the week before. And yeah, all the boys in Bendigo were running that drag a mile street race. They have a mile there before the Easter parade, and yeah, there was just the two of us, so that was good with Cookie for a while. He just did 28k because he's got Canberra Marathon coming up in a few weeks, and that got me about 167k, I think it was. So yeah, nice little week for me. I said I was going to kick it back to 160-ish, and that's what I did. But yeah, happy with how things are progressing. Looking forward to racing in about 2 weeks, Julian. Gels Park Relays for the Athletics Victoria season. 3 weeks, I think it is, actually.
Is it? 3 weeks, yeah, that's what I'm going to do next.
That's your next race, yeah, I think it's going to be mine as well. So, yeah, feeling like I can be in decent shape by the time that rolls around.
What are you going to run there?
They go backwards now, don't they? I haven't run it for a couple of years, but then they start with the uphill.
Yeah, it's been like that for a while.
I haven't run that one for a while. I don't know, 1835? I think 1836 is my best. So I'd like to, and that was from a year when ran for Geelong and Craig Mottram was in the team, Brenton Rowe, Ryan Christian, back in the glory days.
Yeah,
you must have been in Div 3 or something that day because you weren't in the A grade team. Probably trying to get a spot.
I think I was the water boy, maybe.
Yeah, you could have been doing the score sheet or time sheet or something.
No, yeah. that's what we do when we can't.
I think you were passing the water through at one stage there, actually. Yeah.
I was timing, I reckon.
Yeah, you weren't in the A team. That's all I know. Harry Smithers, he was fighting. It was pretty deep that day. So yeah.
Yeah, you probably won.
Yeah, we won it. Yeah, we won the gold. Yeah, so that was good.
Well, this year Ballarat will probably win overall.
The Collar's going to run for Ballarat.
Think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should be quite good actually. Like we're in Division Two still,
We
start behind Div Two. Like Ballarat's Div Two. So we need to. We're going to hopefully try and get the town up to Div 1, so we have a Div 1 team again, so it'll be a big year. Got a bit of work to do.
Yeah, Bedio's back in Div 3 these days, so we'll be starting behind you guys as well.
Yeah, definitely. I can imagine that.
We used to be in Div 1. Got to Div 1 before I left Bendigo to go to Geelong. We were Div 1 back in the day. I reckon we could give you guys a shake at Jales Park. Who else you got running?
You'll have to tell us a story about why you left, actually, Bendigo.
Yeah, you got ran out of town.
Seriously?
No, I'll tell you another. I just left because it was a good opportunity to run for Geelong in a team of absolute superstars, and you kind of had to run for your spot a bit. I thought that was going to get the best out of myself. And Bendigo probably, when I was at Bendigo, I kind of had to pick the team and email people and organise buses, and it was just logistically really hard to organise. You'd have people pulling out the Friday night before and try to organise people to come, and that compared to run for Geelong and just tell them 2 weeks before you want a spot and then try to make the A team was, and you'd end up doing real A teams with, you know, 40 plus and 50 plus kind of guys just trying to get teams together. So I did it to try and better myself and be in a more competitive environment, which was good. It's amazing. I loved running for Geelong.
It's dog the local town.
Yeah.
I'm too good for you boys.
I'm coming back though. I'm going back to Bendigo this year, I think. Just go around all clubs. Might go to Ballarat 1 year. See what happens. We're getting off track.
I think we need a Div 2 captain.
What position are you going to run? All right, might try and match up next to you.
I don't know. I get what I'm given. I do it for the team. I don't pick.
You'd be the captain, wouldn't you? Nah.
No, there's no captains.
Captain Spence. Who picks the order over in Ballarat?
I'd say Collis will have a fair bit to do with it.
Collis first versus Buchanan. Spence and Trelford on the second leg.
I don't mind
our chances there going into the third leg.
Who else is in your team?
Yeah, can't say.
Yeah.
I reckon Skillsy will run.
Jack Davies, they're loaded down there.
Davies gone.
Is he?
Yeah, pissed off somewhere in Melbourne.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
St. Stephen's.
Duoyoa, you get him?
If someone can find him, that'd be great.
You've got some good guys looking around.
2015 Melbourne Marathon.
Yeah, right.
And who have you got, Brady?
No, we've got some kids. We've got some 850 kind of 3K guys, 1530 5K guys. Yeah, Andy Buchanan knows more about it than me. We're trying to get Jamie Cook back from Glen Huntley, but not going real well there. But yeah, we'll be all right, I think.
Why doesn't Jamie Cook run for Bendigo? He lives in Bendigo.
He does. He does all his K's in Bendigo. His coach is Chris Wardlaw, so he's got that connection there to Glen Huntley. So, yeah.
I don't get that, though. Like, who gives a shit where your coach is from?
I did tell him the same thing. I said, Steve might get his coach as Chris Wardlaw as well, and he wasn't running for Glen Huntley.
Yeah. Good call. Exactly.
Actually, Andy Buchanan had that call. I was just listening to it, but I like to. Yeah.
That's a good call.
It's a good call. So, yeah.
And how do you respond to that, Jamie?
Yeah, I'll ask him next week. We're getting way off track here. Let's get moving.
Keep this conversation for this, a free cross-country preview.
Yeah, maybe that's it. A bit of running news. Gwen Jorgensen runs 31.55. A bit of hype around that. I was sick of my phone vibrating on Sunday morning. People informing me what will Julian and Brad think about that with their latest bet. What are you thinking, boys? Where's the 4%ers?
Well, it's not that fast, is it?
No. I think it was... I thought the same thing. They're going to go through that quick in the first 10K at London Marathon.
Yeah, they're making some bloody fuss over this. Like, she won the race. She beat college students. Great. She's a fucking professional athlete who says she's going to win a gold medal in the Olympics. She'd want to win that race, and she'd want to win it by a decent margin. I'm not sure why everyone's getting all bloody on this.
Yeah, the scariest thing about... Well, the most promising thing about this is that she's in the Bowman Track Club. When she come out in that kit, at least she's working with people who know what they're talking about now.
Yeah, she was... Like, there's ASICS gone. She's wearing a Nike kit, Nike shoes. Not sure what happened there, because there would have been some sort of arrangement made, I reckon, when she sort of ditched triathlon. I'm sure ASICS would have been paying a ton then. But anyway, well, the 4%, yeah, I mean, not the first to do that in a 10K race, I don't think.
Someone did point that out on Instagram as well. And we're going to just chuck this listener question, because Kale Simons wrote in about this one for ages ago, but he wanted to know why you do dislike triathletes, Julian.
Is a fellow hater of triathletes who's also a triathlete. And I don't actually hate triathletes. I just love making fun of them, because they're always the kind of people to tell you that they're run for the kids race where they averaged 188 heart rate and they were running 196 at the end was a tempo run. Like, that's an example of it. That's a classic triathlon move right there. And I just love, like, it's just classic examples of that all the time. Like a guy, I think I mentioned it in another podcast, did a tempo 309 pace for 8K. Then he comes out and runs 17:30 for his 5K in the actual event. Classic tempo run at 309, 5K race, 330s. And that's just common in the sport. Like, there's a lot of talk, there's a lot of fluff about it. It's almost like, instead of doing, and this is just a pretty like general statement. There are some triathletes who put in mountainous amounts of work, especially those that do the Ironman and everything. But it's almost like they try to buy their way, they buy their times. Like, oh, I'm going to get a 15 grand bike. It's going to help me take off 10 seconds. I'm going to get this wetsuit. It costs fucking $3,000. It's going to help skim off seconds. It's always the latest and greatest and the newest, the brightest. There's always there's always a lot of money involved, I feel. Like, to enter an Ironman, it costs like $850. Plus, you've got to get your accommodation. Your photo package is another $150 on top. And then there's the tattoos afterwards. And it's like, shit, this thing is enormous. Yeah, anyway.
Short courses.
Claiming marathon times off short courses. Ah, God, that's the best. So, and then the drafting. How about the drafting? Like, you go and watch one of these things or you see some photos. They're not allowed to sit within, like, I don't know how many bike lengths it is behind, but there's a certain amount, and it's just like, every single person cheats. You watch these races, these Ironmans, and you see these trains of like 50 people rolling past in a row, just totally cheating. I just don't get it. Like, you're either doing it, like, you're doing it for yourself. You're not trying to. Oh, wait. Sorry. Absolute classic. I'm going to Worlds. That's the best. But Aussie kid arrived, the one that I paid for the position that I bought. I'm going to Worlds. Love it. It's the absolute greatest. They came like 12th in some low-key country triathlon. Got to get my spot for Worlds. And then they're like, that's in the age group, right? And the age groups aren't 30 to 40. it's like 30 to 35 for guys with red bikes. So the red bike guys, they get a spot. The guy on a blue bike, he also gets a spot. If you got blonde hair, you get a spot. And what happens after the races, like they go to this presentation ceremony and they have to pay the entry fee for the next race. Otherwise, they can't have their spot. So like you go to Kona or whatever, the Hawaiian Ironman, and you got to dump $850 immediately after the race that you just did that cost like $850. Otherwise, you're not allowed in the race. And that's the world championships.
I reckon there's your answer, Kale Simons.
two moose on the loose segments this episode.
Nah, that'll do me. That's it. That's good. But if I'm like, we could get going on this.
I think you just did get going on it.
Ask me another one later. We'll do Kale's question again in a couple of weeks.
The other part, and you, yeah, so you're not worried, Brad. You're still pretty confident about your bet, 31.55.
Actually, this is the first that I'd heard of it, but I'm not overly impressed by that. Like, it's a good run, but we also got to remember it's still another year and a half away, or whatever, 2 years. So she's got time, and I think what you said before about she's now with running people.
Yeah, she's like, got good people in her corner now.
Yeah, so they're going to know what she should be doing, and I guess they'll work back from the Olympics and sort of have, I guess, checkpoints along the way to make sure that she's on track. So, it's a good run. I'm not worried yet.
Mm. What about your mate, Jake Robinson? Just equals his twin brother's 10K road New Zealand record 4 weeks after Lake Biwa.
Yeah, it's impressive, hey? 27:28 on the roads. And I believe he's running the 10K at Com Games. So if he can sort of replicate that sort of form, you'd have to think he'll medal.
Mm. Yeah, it's good going. That was over in the States.
World beater.
Yeah. That's pretty good effort. It's pretty good effort. Pretty good turnaround.
Won by about 45 seconds, I think.
Yeah, and it was deep. Like, he was racing some decent Kenyans, not just guys making up the numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Julian, you want to read out this week's listener questions about some trails? So I think you might be the one to answer this one.
Yeah, this is a good question. All right. So could you do some features on the best off-road places to do long runs? I find it's nice to hit the trails, get off the bitumen and discover some beautiful places in nature to clock up the Sunday Ks. So, yeah, this is a good question because I think everyone should be doing their long runs on dirt in the bush, like if you can. I think, like, it's one of the secrets maybe to staying injury-free or even to enjoying your long run more, because normally, like, the bush, it's hilly as well. So that's from Camilla Wishaw, and she said, oh, we know some obvious ones, like in Melbourne, it's Ferny Creek, which they've been going there since, like, what, Ron Clark days, and it's always a similar loop, I believe, out there. I've actually never done Fernie, but if you look in Geelong, like, and Western Melbourne, a lot of people go to the Yuyangs. Get to see Western Ask there all the time training. Geelong Athletics go up there. Like, I went there the other week and it was populated with trail runners, road runners getting their long runs in. Pretty nice, the Yuyangs, but not wilderness, I wouldn't say. It's pretty, like, good running spot, but I don't think it's, like, somewhere that I'd go and just hang out. But if you want to know the more secretive spots, then you keep going down the coast there and you head to places like Anglesey. Running back towards Torquay is beautiful through the cliffs there. You can run through the back of Anglesey, Aries Inlet, through the Otways. Well, it's kind of the Otways, but it's not real rainforesty. It's a really nice place to run, though. Then you keep going down behind Lawn, very hilly out there, pretty extreme sort of trails, a lot of rainforesty sections that way. I think one of the hidden gems is down in Forest where the mountain bike tracks are. There are some beautiful spots out there to run, and not many runners go there. Heaps of cyclists go there, but the runners tend to sort of avoid it. I don't know. It's probably just a little far to drive for everyone, but if you can get down there, awesome spot. Like you can follow mountain bike trails for 100 Ks down there and sort of not run into the same one. So I don't know that much about other cities, but or other states, but in Victoria, those places are pretty epic places for long runs.
Mm, yeah. There's not much around my area. We've got some good national parks, but nothing like you're describing there. And obviously, like, hills hurts us out. Bendigo's got the, obviously, the O'Keefe Rail Trail, which goes, 50K. Yeah, good week for this question. I think that goes all the way to, where's it go? Kilmore now. I think it goes, like, 50 or 60K. But it's pretty kind of sandy and kind of a bit, monotonous. Like, it's not the most interesting track in the world because it kind of is just a track going from one point to the other and not many. It's kind of like a steady uphill. Julian, no more than me, he's run the whole marathon there. And then, the One Tree Hill kind of bush, that's nice, some rolling hills, but really rocky, so you've got to really watch your footing there. Are you going to say something, Julian?
Hardly compares to the Otway National Park.
Oh, I could imagine, running through paddocks on a dirt track.
Yeah. The rail trail is like a good run, I guess, but it's like I drive 2 hours, I reckon, to go and run at one of those places. It's that epic, especially forest.
Brad, what are you doing about up north?
So I guess Canberra, we have Mulligan's Flat, obviously. and I guess there's Mount Ainslie, Majura Trails and Stromlo. So they're probably like the three. Well, actually, Mulligan's isn't that popular with other runners, but definitely Ainslie, Majura, and Stromlo. Stromlo was where Deke used to do all of his training. They've sort of, since the bushfires came through, was that 2003 or something? There's a lot of houses out there now, so you can't run the exact same trails, and some of them have been converted to bitumen, but you can still run a lot of it, and it's quite hilly. I guess Sydney, I used to do a lot when I was younger in the Royal National Park, near where Julian was on the weekend. I think used to run, or if you actually start outside the national park, you can run down the road, which is it's quite a steep sort of decline into the national park. And then you can run a good, I don't know if it's maybe 10 or 12K one way, 12K back. And then obviously if you're running back out of the national park, you've got like a 4 or 5K climb, I reckon it is. But then down the south coast, I love the run from North Durris through to Kiola. I do that every time I'm down there. And that's like I can get basically 35K of running. It's out and back and it's quite hilly as well. I get close to between 600 and 700 meters of climbing in that run. During summer, like they're all sort of fire trails. So during summer, you can get, I guess, a bit of traffic just from all the campgrounds there. But in winter, you don't see anybody. So that's one of my favorite runs to do down there. I think you've done a part of that before, Julian.
Yeah, that is nice. Pretty hilly.
So.
What about Centennial Park, Brad? You see that on Strava all the time, the Sydney boys. That'd get a bit boring though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I've done a heap of runs. Well, I guess when I was training with Ken Green's group, that was we'd be there every Saturday morning for our session and then every Sunday as well. And what they normally do is they start in Centennial, run out of the park, up around the SCG and the football stadium and then onto this golf course at Moore Park. And then they go back into Centennial Park, around the outside of it, cross the road into Queen's Park. And so that loop would be, you get close to 10 mile doing that loop. So that's not too bad, without having to really sort of, go back on yourself. But it's not that enjoyable running around there.
Hope we answered your question, Camilla. Thanks for writing in. Getting a bit low on the actual listener questions, so if anyone's got one out there, you can pop them in and we'll chuck them in the list of ones to come to on the next couple of weeks of the show. Moose on the Loose, you going to do this other one, Julian, or are you just going to leave it with the triathletes?
Yeah, I'll do this next week. I'm good.
Next week. All right. Gold Coast Com Games is coming up. Starts Wednesday. This show's going to go out probably Wednesday, so it's going to be good timing. What are you excited about, boys? What events?
The distance events.
the running.
I guess I'm sort of excited now to see how Jake goes in that 10K, you know, like 27, 28 on the road, you'd have to think he's right up there. And also interested to see whether Pat Tiernan can feature. Like, he's certainly talented, and I haven't heard much about him since trials. So I don't know whether you guys have heard how he's going.
Julian's good mates with him now. Got anything, Julian?
Well, he ran that 5K in the race in Brisbane, I believe it was. He ran, I think he ran 13:40-something, 13:40-ish, but obviously it wasn't flat out. Oh, I hope it wasn't. that's the most I've heard.
Yeah, okay.
Some of the odds are up on the William Hill betting site. It's some interesting, it's some money to be made there, I think. Some of the Aussies' odds are pretty generous.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure. The man to ask about this is Watto, Ash Watson, who loves putting bets on. And he always tells us about his wins. So I've sent a message to him saying, what am I going to get on? Who am I going to load up on? And he likes to link them together too. So he'll give us the answer there.
Oh, get a bit maybe of multi going.
Yeah, maybe get the get him on like a
expert tipster.
Yeah.
We could do that. Luke Matthews, $41 to win the men's 800 metres. That's appetising. That looks good.
What about Gregson at 100? I like that. That's a solid one.
That's a solid bet, Gregson. Morgan McDonald, he was, 51 to win the men's 5K? With his finishing kick at Nationals, if he's there with a lap to go, you'd like him. These guys at William Hill wouldn't know much about the odds, though, would they?
They've got to employ a specialist.
Yeah, like, who's the running specialist to give them these odds?
I'm sure they would get, like, they've got these guys.
Dave Robbo or someone.
Billions of dollars. They're not going to send out, like, they're not going to just make shit up from Wikipedia.
Dave Robbo or Josh Harris or someone like that. Just let them know what's happening.
Yeah, you could rig that pretty easy.
Yeah, I reckon if you were to put $10 on Morgan McDonald now, his odds would drop to about $25. No one's betting on this stuff yet. And they're just waiting to see where the money's going, then they're just going to work.
I bet Watto is. I bet Watto's got $500 on this right now, linking them all, and he'll come out.
Putting on a big multi bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good, very good. Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Looking forward to seeing the marathon. That's next Sunday week, especially how Liam's going to go off the back of last week's interview. He put in another mountain of work up there, up at Falls Creek. I think he's paying $55 or $60 too to win the marathon. So
I think he's like 80, isn't he?
80, 81 actually. And I think Shelley was 31.
Yeah, that's right.
Even that, Michael Shelley won it 4 years ago and he's still paying $31.
Yeah,
I reckon paying that day, he won it.
I reckon a lot of the time they just look at what their PB, what the athlete's PBs are. I don't know if they actually look into current form that much.
I reckon we know more about this than these guys do.
Yeah, like I bet a fair bit back around like 2004 Olympics, and there was some easy money to be made around like the swimming events and things like that if you actually knew what sort of form they were in. Because I reckon that men's 1500, they've probably just looked at the, because no one's really raced. So they've probably just looked at PBs. Like that Tim Cheruiyot, he's run 3:29. So, and Manganoi is pretty good as well.
Yeah. Even Nigel Amos, like his leaps and bounds ahead of the men with his PB in the 800s. That's why they got him at $1.80. That's like he hasn't raced though, I don't think.
No. What about, hey, Moose, have you had a look at the men's and women's triathlon odds?
Yeah, I did, actually. Saw the men's, the Brownlee brothers, obviously top two.
Yeah.
So I just had a quick squiz anyway. I don't know any of these people.
I was just staring up to your rant.
Well, I look through it and I'm like, don't know. Oh, Brownlee, I've heard of him. He's actually a good runner.
Yeah, well, they did do that track 10K at Stanford or Peyton Jordan or something 1 year. Remember? They actually, like, ran really well over 10K.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not saying they're not good athletes. I was never mentioned that they weren't good athletes.
Competition for this week, O'Keefe Rail Trail Marathon. We've got two free entries to give away, two free finisher singlets. two bottles of Heathcote wine, which you can collect at the event if you win this competition and go to it. What you've got to do is go to our Facebook page and comment on the post about the O'Keefe Rail Trail Marathon and tell us who you would take to the event and why. And we're going to pick the most creative answer to send you to that event in a couple of weeks. 3 weeks, I think. Same day as that Gels Park weekend, Julian. So, man, you are out, but hopefully some listeners are interested in it and can enter that competition. Who would you boys take if you were going to that event? Can't say partners. That's the easy answer.
I'd take Michael Roger.
Oh, interesting answer.
Yeah, well, get to run with the world record holder.
Oh, that's good. Yep, I thought you were just trying to put in a big segue leading into this week's guest.
Well, I was as well.
Jeez, radio improving. The host in here, Julian. Who would you take?
You said I can't say.
Can't say Brie.
My mum.
You can take your mum. You can take your mum.
Yeah, take my mum. Shit, take my mum. She can enjoy herself somewhere. She won't run. She won't do it. But. This is a shit answer. Shit question.
Shit question, shit answer. I'd date my mum as well, though, actually, now you said that. My mum runs every morning, but she's never done a fun run before. She's never done a race. She doesn't like people seeing her run, so she runs 6K around the block every morning when it's dark, and then has never raced ever. So that'd be good to take her, put her out of her comfort zone. She can have a race. Rightio, this show's over.
That's a good answer.
That is a good answer. Good answer to a good question, I reckon. What do you got coming up, fellas? What's up for the next week?
Very little for me, just a couple of sessions, heading back down the coast this weekend for a couple of birthday parties. But yeah, nothing exciting on the running front, really.
Three or two sessions?
Just two this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do two sessions, do some speed work tomorrow. Later in the week, I'll do I'll probably do a session Saturday, like maybe. No, I'll just do a session Saturday, longer session.
Yeah, I'm off to Bendigo Thursday to do some hill reps with Andy Buchanan, and other than that, just enjoying school holidays. So it's all good. Tell us about this week's guest, Brad.
Yeah, so Michael Roger, we've mentioned him a couple of times on this podcast. So he's the world record holder for the 1500 for, I guess, amputee. So he's only got like one arm or an arm and a stump. So he's coming over tomorrow night after his track session. So, I've known Roger for a long time. He's, great guy. He's actually run really well over 5K as well. He's run 14. What's his PB for 5K? Do you know, Julian?
Oh, didn't he run like 14:08 or something? Yeah,
something like that. And I noticed on Strava he's been, he's been running 100-mile a week. So I reckon he'll run a good, I remember chatting to him a couple of months ago and he wanted to run a 10 or a half over winter. So it'll be interesting to see what he does there. So, looking forward to having a chat with him, find out how he got into running. And he's had a lot of setbacks as well. He's got some pretty horrific stories from what happened to him at London Olympics, which I won't give anything away. But, yeah, he's had a rough trot to get to where he is now. So I look forward to, getting into that with him.
Yeah, right. Well done. Cheers for that. Good chat. Thanks, boys, again, and we'll do it all again next week.
All right. See you guys. Chat.
Cheerio.
All right, we're in for a real treat tonight. We've got Michael Roger here, our first world record holder on Inside Running. Thanks for taking time out on the school night to join us.
No worries, Croaks. The dinner was a big pull.
Yeah, hopefully you don't get food poisoning from the burgers. Firstly, congratulations on the amazing season you've had. You know, world records in both the 5K and the 1500. So I think we've run 14:06 and 3:45. So phenomenal running.
Yeah, thanks. It was... I guess the 3:45 was a big surprise for me. I didn't think I was quite in that shape for 1500 this season, but mainly we targeted the 5K, and you know the goal was sub 14:10. So 14:06 was 14:06 was I was stoked, and to better my world record by 9 seconds was a bonus.
Very good. Let's take a step back to I guess how you got into running. So you're a South Australian boy, born and bred. And I believe AFL was your sort of first love, which shows just shows the type of guy that you are, that you don't mind a challenge, because I'd argue that, you know, playing footy with one arm is probably harder than running.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. I may as well, for everyone listening, or your listeners, I was, I'm missing the lower half of my right arm. I was in a shark accident. No. I was actually born like it, so, yeah, I know no different. And I've got a twin brother, Chris, and, growing up about 45 minutes southeast of Adelaide in a small country town called Langhorne Creek, we just went headfirst into anything, and, AFL was my first love. Could take a ripper overhead mark, handball with the stump, kick left foot, right foot. And I think I just love the team aspect of it as well, you know, with the mates and stuff.
And when did the running start to, I guess, get serious for you?
I guess running for me, I always used to do it in school cross country, in sort of, you know, I can remember back in year 3 and 4, our teacher used to get us to go out for like a 1500 metre loop, and I was always good, always up at the front of the pack. And you know, I think you just go, in the end, you go to something that you're good at, and I grew up with running. So, my first team was when I was in year 6, I made the state team, or the state cross country team for South Australia, and that was to Darwin. So we ran up in the Northern Territory. It was a big trip for a small boy from the country. But that was my first sort of, my eye-opener to running when I was in year 6.
And I think the first time I met you, you may not remember it, was up at Perisher. I think you were up there. You weren't part of our squad then. I think you might maybe with Robbie Bolton.
Robbie Bolton, yeah.
And so I guess, so what brought you from South Australia over to the East Coast?
Yeah, so all through schooling, I played every sport under the book, really. I just love sport. So it was footy, basketball, tennis, cricket, even at a season of Twilight Bowls, so I just did everything, like anything and everything, indoor cricket, and, you know, played footy right up until year 12 for Langhorne Creek, and, you know, we won an under-18s premiership, and then I decided to hang them up, and it was in year 12, so that was 2005, and I knew sort of, you know, Beijing was 3 years away, and I'd sort of been, you know, involved pretty heavily just in school and always making teams for South Australia, so Robbie Bolton was the middle distance coach for the Paralympic team, and he sort of was advising me for a while after school, and I made the move in 2007 to Wollongong, where he was. So that's, you know, then he did a few altitude trips to Perisher and stuff, and he really took me under his wing, and we had the goal of trying to qualify for Rio back then, and Rio Beijing.
Yeah, and then ended up at the AIS, because that's, I then had a fair bit to do with you there when I was an athlete supervisor.
Yeah, that's right. I couldn't get in too much trouble with you there, Croaks.
No. Run a tight ship.
You used to invite me over to your flat. We used to have a rolling Shiraz, didn't we? Shh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We better peep that out. Barry Barnes isn't listening.
Yeah. You were 18, though. That was all right.
So I guess Robbie guided me for 3 or 4 years and got me through Beijing. And then a scholarship at the AIS come up in 2009 under Irina Divaskina, and I thought I'll just try that out and see how that went.
Yeah.
So that's how I sort of got to the AIS, but grassroots was always in South Australia, just, you know, running around the vineyards and the farms, and sort of went from there.
And I guess, so you've now moved on. So with Irina, you had more of probably a speed-based program.
Yeah. It's something that, you know, I don't regret, you know, going to the AIS under Irina and focusing that 100, but it wasn't my fondest years of running, because I love running, and that's what I want to do. And I guess going to the AIS, it was a totally different mindset I had to get in. You know, I was only running sort of 30, 40k a week, and a lot of the focus on the quality and a lot of the gym stuff, which, you know, at the end of the day, I think I'm a responder of kilometres, and it didn't quite work out, I don't think, at the AIS under Irina. But, you know, I learnt a lot of things, and I'll be forever grateful working with her, because she's a super coach and had some great results. So I was with her for, up until post-London.
And I guess before we get to all of your, I guess, recent sort of success, a lot of people probably don't know the setbacks that you've had. So although you've been to 2 Olympics now, you had to pull out of London, and you've been 2 or 3 world champs? Or?
Yeah, 3 world champs, three Paralympic Games, yeah, and didn't finish in London.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, it's fair to say that you probably, although you're the world record holder, you probably haven't, you know, reached your, I guess, what you're capable of at a major championship. And do you want to just maybe talk us through what happened was it London?
Yeah. So London, I was going in racing the 800. Yeah, like you said, it's been tough. Like, some people think it's come easy for me and I've had great results, but at the majors, I haven't performed well or I've been sick, and London was probably the worst one. The night before the race, I had come down with this really, you know, bad stomach pain and really bad headaches, and I just thought it was normal, it was nerves, it was, you know, a big race. I was racing the 800 metre heats the next morning, and I fainted, got up to go to the bathroom twice that night, and I fainted at the toilet, and I thought, God, this isn't good. And long story short, right before the call room, I was spewing up this coffee ground looking spew. At the time, I didn't really know what it was, but it turns out it was, you know, that's what your stomach turns the blood into, really. So I was spewing up blood before my race, and I lost. I knew that I was in trouble at that stage, and it was probably the hardest thing in my life to go to the call room knowing I was in that state, and you're seeing, you know, all the other competitors from around the world trying to, you know, they're in the best shape of their life and trying to psych you out, and I'm just sitting there going, geez, am I going to die out there? And I got, to 200 metres in, and I was, you know, just off the back, and I thought, just get a lap 400 metres around and run straight through the tunnel, and I ran off the track and pretty much fainted.
And so what then, because you ended up in hospital, didn't you? So what happened there?
Hospital for 4 days, had a blood transfusion, lost about 3 litres of blood. It was pretty bad for a while. I never thought that, you know, I thought I was dying, and then I was just on the next plane back to Australia to get treatment. And
what was the cause?
They didn't put a finger on anything really, but I was, for 6 weeks before that, I was in altitude tent in Cardiff in Wales. I was, had a few niggles, so I was on anti-inflammatories for a while, a few sleeping tablets, iron tablets. Mm-hmm. So all these things that really, you know, your stomach, it's not really good for your stomach. So I reckon that might have, you know, contributed to it.
But it certainly goes to show the type of guy that you are, that here you are, like, minutes before the race, throwing your guts up, and you still race. Like, when you're basically losing blood internally, and you still manage 400 metres.
Yeah, and I guess that was for my family, my friends, my footy club, my Langhorne Creek Hawks, my footy club, were all back in the club rooms watching me, you know, out on the live screen. I knew that if I didn't get out there, everyone would be, you know, wondering where I was. So I was, you know, I got out there for them, basically.
And how long did it take to, I guess, physically get over that, but also emotionally?
Yeah, it was a big turning point, because I knew sort of post London that I was going to change coaches to Philo Saunders, and I didn't run for probably 3-4 months after that, because I was pretty sick, pretty weak, you know, lost a bit of weight. And just the mental scars as well. Like, I went into a bit of a, you know, a deep hole. Like, you trained for so long for this one event, and then you don't get the result you want. It's pretty hard to take. And I guess coming back was, I remember my first run back. It was just in the hills behind my house in Canberra, and you know, I was running 5 minute K's, and I only ran for like 20 minutes, and halfway through I broke down in tears because my heart rate was about 190 and I couldn't actually run up this hill. Mm. So I didn't know if I could get back, and slowly but surely I had good people around me, and Philo Saunders started coaching me, and you know, I think just the confidence he instills in people and his, you know, squad is unbelievable, and he got me back.
Did you ever think about actually pulling the pin and doing something else?
I did, yeah. Yep, I did. I thought maybe I'd just pack up and go back home, go back to South Australia.
Yeah. And then, so, going through some other major championships, you won a couple of medals at one of the world championships there?
2013, yeah. So I bounced back probably in December of 2012 with Philo, and we had world champs that next year in Lyon. And we got to Lyon, and I had a bit of stress in my shin going to Lyon, but I feel like I wasn't quite at my best there, but managed to get two bronze medals, one in the 5K and one in the 1500, just behind the Algerian and Brazilian. So I guess that was a success, and that was my first international medal as well. So that was, 10 months with Philo, and he's, got me running all right again.
Yeah, And then I guess even Rio, so I guess before Rio, between London and Rio, you became the world record holder in the 1500 metres. And you're telling me before this interview that that's probably been the most memorable moment of your running, breaking that in Boston.
Yeah, definitely. So that was 2015, June 2015 in Boston. And I guess for about probably 14 months, the world record was 350.1. And I guess for 15 months, 2014, 2015, we knew I was in shape to break that. And I had a few goes, and I was close a lot of times, and it was, it was agonizingly close. And, I guess for me, it was a goal for me for a very long time, and to break 350. And when I finally did it in Boston, was one of the best feelings I've ever had. Mm. If you could bottle that up and sell it, it'd be worth $1 million, because when I crossed that line and I knew I'd broken the world record, I was the world record holder for the T46 1500 metres, was the best feeling in the world. And I guess that's what we train for, whether it's a PB in a park run or what, everyone's got their own goals, and that was the pinnacle for me.
Even though you've broken two world records this season, that first one still is better than the most recent ones.
Yeah, as you get older and fitter and at that level, that PB's world record, they're getting harder. Mm. But I don't think nothing will ever beat that feeling, that first one, unless I win a gold medal one day.
So let's then fast forward to Rio. So you go in as the world record holder, and what happens in Rio?
Yeah, so Rio was it. I thought, I was in savage shape in 2016, and I think looking back now, I think we overcooked our preparation. We had a holding camp in Florida. It was similar humidity, similar temperatures to what Rio was going to be. And I went in there for 5 weeks to Florida. Yeah. And I think that was too long in those conditions. It was just too hot, too humid for that long. And we're doing some big Ks there as well. So then I got into the village. And the village environment, sometimes, they're not the best place to be around, because everyone's, super fit there, and some people were sick around me, some people had gastro, and I got a little bit, I'm not making excuses for my result, but I got a little bit sick a couple of days before my 1500 metre final. And, but in saying that, I still believed I could win. And going in as world record holder, I think, there's a little bit more expectation than previous, championships, and definitely London and Beijing. More eyes are on me. People expected me to do better. The race was really slow early on. The two Ethiopians were playing mind games with us, and, running as a team. And just basically there was a move at about 4:50 to go, and I sort of went with it, but I knew, down the back straight, that I was not going to win. Mm. And had to settle for bronze.
Still, that's your first Olympic medal?
Yeah, look, initially, there's a photo of me after the line, just looking up to the heavens. I was shattered initially when I first crossed the line. But, like you said, it was my first medal from three games. So once that started to sink in, I was proud of my achievements. I was proud of how I stuck it out. And to get the bronze for Australia was pretty pleasing.
And so I guess this is the thing about, it's one thing to be a world record holder, but to get it right on the day in a championship, because I remember even, I think, training with you in the lead up to the 2015 World Champs, trying to actually, get training partners to maybe replicate how a race is going to be. Yeah. And you just don't know how the races are going to pan out. So yeah. Is there anything that you've sort of learnt from all of these championship races that you'd like to employ sort of next time?
Yeah, I guess, I would have done this last year at the World Championships in London, but unfortunately I had to pull out. I don't like a sit and kick race, mm. And I know now I'm the best in the world in my class, and I know I'm 2 or 3 seconds quicker than those other boys over 1500 metres. So I guess I've learned that, you know, I'm not going to sit in there and, you know, wait for someone to make a move. I'm going to make it an honest patient to start.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to the next majors or the next Paralympic Games where I get there fit and healthy and, you know, run 60-second laps and run them off their feet.
Well, I think the one thing where the change I've seen you over the last few years is it doesn't matter now which way the race is run. I think you've got strength across the board. So we'll get to, like, your 5K time shortly, but you're now a much stronger runner over 5K, 10K, and you'll probably demonstrate that in a half marathon in a few weeks that, you know, you're a good half runner as well, but you've also got that speed. So I don't think now it matters what way the championships will be run.
Definitely. I think I was a late starter in running, and definitely my training age is not my actual, you know, I'm 30 next month, but I don't think, like, I wasn't running, you know, 70, 80, 100 Ks a week at 14, 15, 16, even 18, you know, I sort of started late. So I think, you know, over the last sort of 4 or 5 years with Philo, now I'm starting to, they're all in the bank now. I'm starting to really, you know, withdraw that training now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, I think if I was doing a lot of training, hard training, when I was, you know, 15 to 20, I think I'd be cooked by now.
Yeah. Well, I was very similar to you. I didn't start running until I was 18, 19. And I'd say the volume that you're running at the moment is probably, like, more than what I was running when I was actually your age.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm sure you'll run a good marathon one day soon.
Yeah, yeah. So I think, that's coming my favour, is starting a little bit later, and I think now I'm starting to, you know, really hit my straps.
Yeah. So let's talk about, I guess, current shape. So you're the type of guy that, although you've run well this season, I wouldn't say that you've strung together 3 years of, you know, consistent training. You've always, fair to say, you probably haven't gone more than a year, year and a half without some sort of six-week setback. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's pretty fair, I reckon. Yep. And I think I'm the type of guy who can get fit really quick, which also isn't good, because, you know, I can get fit and start running well after 3 or 4 weeks, but then I think I can do more.
Yeah.
And that sometimes, you know, I need someone just to say, hang on, Rogues, pull it back a bit. You know, you don't have to go crazy now. And I think really after my last injury last year, I've just slowly built it up and built it up and really been smart about it.
Because that's going to be my next question, because I think it was probably around August last year, August, September, that you were sort of injured, just maybe starting to get back running?
Just starting. So I got sort of injured the end of May last year and was out for, probably 3 months. And then, just had a real slow build up.
Yeah. And so if somebody told you in September last year that you were going to run 14:06 and 3:45, you probably wouldn't have believed them at the time?
No way. It was, I was blessed to be racing really this year. Like, I had a meeting with Athletics Australia in December and they basically said, you don't have to race this season, don't worry about it. And to run those times is, I've been really happy with this season.
And has anything changed in your training over the last, say, 6 months? Like, in terms of types of sessions or the general weekly structure?
Not too much over the last sort of 6 months, but probably definitely the last sort of 2 months it's changed. I've done a bigger weeks and, you know, I've been really consistent in my two gym sessions a week as well, which has been good, really good for my strength.
So do you want to maybe give us a rundown of how your general training week looks?
Yes, yep. So Monday mornings, just an easy sort of 10-12k, and then I do a gym at Monday lunch. So basically gym is just sort of leg weights, sort of squats, reverse lunges, then a lot of core and some stuff on some balancing stuff as well for my right side. Then Monday evenings will be an easy half an hour, so 7k. So what's that, 17-18k for the day?
Can I just jump in there and say that, like me, you don't mind a quicker easy run?
Yeah. I've been known to push the pace on the easy run, but since I've been doing a fair few k's, Croaks, I'll settle down a bit.
Yeah. Okay, so that's Monday.
Yeah. Then Tuesday mornings easy 8k. Then Tuesday evenings workout. So it's usually a track session, faster stuff Tuesdays. And our squad, Philo, likes to do a 5K warm-up and warm-down. And the session's probably anywhere from sort of 5 to 8K.
Yeah.
Wednesday morning, long run, anywhere from 15 to 20K. Gym, Wednesday lunchtime. Thursday morning, easy 8K. Then sort of some sort of threshold fartlek in the evening. Friday mornings is easy 10K. I used to have Friday mornings off, probably like last year, but this year I've incorporated a run, just a recovery run on a Friday morning, so about 10K.
Yep.
Saturday morning session, that could be hills or some sort of fartlek at Stromlo on the grass track. Then optional run Saturday evening, then Sunday long run,
yep.
25 to 30K.
Normally get rolling on those long runs.
Yeah, I do like. I'm bad for a long run. I do like to get it rolling, and you know,
I'm the same.
Yeah, get well under 4 minutes by the end.
And we were chatting before that you recently did a 10 mile tempo around West Basin Lake Billy Griffin, which is those that know that is quite a hilly run, and you're running 3:10s for that, which is phenomenal. So what's coming up? A few longer races?
Yeah, I guess for this sort of year, just because I haven't got an event in Comm Games or I haven't got a World Championships, I really wanted to just focus on some longer stuff and some road races. So at the start of the year, I actually wanted to do a marathon, but Athletics Australia sort of said no. I guess, you know, fair enough, they funded me to run 1500s, so that was all right. But I did say, you know, I'd like to run one by the end of the year, because maybe by Tokyo... I might do a marathon, but I got the Canberra Half Marathon coming up in 2 weeks, so it's been hence the 16K tempo.
Yep.
And then I'll do a 10K on the road as well, early May.
Yeah, Sydney 10.
Sydney 10. Yeah,
I plan on doing that one.
But
as well.
Definitely the last sort of, even you know, since we had that focus on the 5K at Nationals, the mileage has gone up sort of. You know, last year was around 130, now I'm up to sort of 160.
Mm, yeah. And so you're contemplating maybe a marathon later in the year?
Yeah, yep. So I think initially I thought maybe Melbourne, but then someone said I should do, you know, if I'm going to do a marathon, why don't you just do the quickest marathon in the world and do Berlin?
Yeah.
So that'd be pretty cool doing Berlin, yeah. But I guess it's, you know, it's a long way off and I'll get through this half marathon first and, you know, might do Gold Coast half and just feel I just really wanted to see how my body would cope, I guess, doing the longer stuff because, you know, I've never done sort of the longer stuff. I've never done more than 150K a week. So if I can get through this, get through the half marathon, then, you know, head overseas to America and do some 5Ks as well and get through all that.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to do a marathon.
And it'd probably set you up well next year as well. If you've come off and your body's handled like marathon training, to then drop it back down to 5K, 1500.
Should
set you up well.
I think, like, I'm the sort of guy who can get, I think I can get through that, the mileage and the stuff on the road pretty well. I think what I've learnt is, especially in my early 20s, I had a lot of tibia stress fractures and, you know, bone stress and, you know, foot problems. And I think that was down to the track and the high quality stuff on the track and in spikes, running fast around bends, didn't or doesn't agree with me. So I think that's where I've found that I break down more, is I'm finding that, you know, I can get out there and handle this, the road sort of stuff and the hilly stuff pretty well.
Yeah. So my co-host Brady and Julian, they're both running Berlin this year. So if you did run Berlin, would the plan be to just sit on those boys and outkick them like you did to Julian in Albury?
Yeah, me and Julian had a good tussle in Aubrey. We were side by side for 7K, I think. And, but no way. You boys are crazy. You know, sub 220. I think, you know, for me, definitely. I think running for the first marathon, maybe I can get another world record. Croaks, and I think the world record in my category in the Paralympics is, I think, 226 high or 227 low. And I think definitely this year that'd be the goal, just to tick that off. You know. And get the world record and just show people, you know, maybe, you know, get everyone a bit nervous for what I'm going to do in Tokyo. Yeah,
I think you'd absolutely smash that, and I think you could actually run under 220 quite easily.
Yeah, I don't know. But I think, you know, looking, it's serious. I'd seriously contemplate doing the marathon at Tokyo, and, you know, if the program panned out right and the 1500 was at the start and the marathon's usually at the end, maybe I could do the double, but we'll see.
Yeah. And I guess, like, you know, you're obviously an inspiration to a lot of people, but are there people that you've sort of looked up to throughout your running?
Yeah, I guess growing up, I looked up to Neil Fuller. Neil Fuller's a leg amputee, and he's from South Australia and sort of a legend in the Paralympic sport. You know, won, you know, 5 gold medals or something in the sort of the 400. And, But more, I guess, my dad, I looked up to him like a lot. He's sort of, you know, country, worked hard and, you know, always encouraged me and, you know, just wanted to make him proud. But, yeah, I guess, you know, I used to have photos of, you know, Craig Mottram on my wall as a young fella and Hichemel Garouge,
yeah.
Those sort of people. But, yeah, you know, people like even your run inspired me, Croaks, and, you know, what Philo's done and how he got, you know, my coach, he's, you know, still running, you know, sub 350 at 41 is pretty inspiring and encouraging.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to seeing, I guess, what you do the rest of, you know, this winter, especially over the longer stuff, and obviously wish you all the best with, the major championships, and I'm sure that Olympic gold medal is not too far away. But thanks for your time tonight.
No worries, Croaks. Thanks for having me.
Pain. Now I hear you say you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes and tell me if you take my place? Under the cover of my skin. Doesn't matter if it's